Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
This is Radio Influence. The future is now.
Why, Crusher, it's good to see you.
Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crushell. Get in on the talent grid and text Crush at 10-12-60 with your questions, comments, or smart-ass remarks.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Crush Performance. I am Jeff Crushell. We are your source for performance information. Get to us on our website, crushperformance.com. You can write to us at info@crushperformance. That's Crush with a K, crushperformance.com. Follow us on Twitter at Jeff Crush. And if you are on Facebook, there's two ways you can get to us. We have our page called Crush Performance, or if you would like to join our group, it's called The Talent Grid. Go there, sign up, we'll let you in. And there's just a bunch of great people, experts, athletes, parents, coaches, just sharing information on development, performance, and performance not just in sport, music, business, human performance. It's the big picture, and that's what we're all about here. And today, a really important show. We are going to talk with David Howman, the former Director General of WADA, who is the newly appointed chair of an innovative program that's been initiated by the IAAF called the Athletics Integrity Unit. Now, this is a groundbreaking move by the IAAF, and they'll be the first sporting organization to actually have an independent third-party body governing and enforcing the rules that guide their organization. It's a unique scenario. If we look at what the Athletics Integrity Unit will be responsible for, they will have oversight on anti-doping issues in bribery, corruption, and match fixing. They're going to look at age manipulation where, you know, some of these junior athletes may not be junior athletes. They'll also look at issues in betting, manipulation of competition results, and transfer of allegiance where athletes may try to falsely change countries or allegiance to a country just to get into competition. So they have a wide breadth, and they will oversee, they will rule, and they will hand out punishments accordingly for the IAAF. The IAAF has basically given it up. It's very, very rare for an organization to pass on or give up control of what happens to their athletes. But based on what's happened over the last 3 or 4 years in the IAAF, especially leading up to the Rio Olympics and the banning of the entire Russian Athletics Federation, they had to do something. If we look at just the anti-doping alone, this is a bold move. If we look at what happens in a country, in the US, you have USADA, that's the governing body that oversees implementing the WADA's protocols and rulings and punishments for the sports in the US. In Canada, you have the Canadian Center for Ethics and Sports, and every country has their body that operates under WADA's mandates. The IAAF has gone one step further. They've now appointed a body just to oversee their sport. So it's a massive task. We're going to talk to David Howman, who is now the newly appointed chair for the Athletics Integrity Unit, what it's all about, where they're at, and where it will go. I believe this will be as groundbreaking as the initiation of WADA back in the day. I think a lot of organizations will be looking at the IAAF to see how this works and to see how it really protects the integrity of sport. So Sebastian Coe, who is the current president of the IAAF, and the IAAF stands for the International Association of Athletics Federations. They oversee all the athletic federations globally. They know they're in trouble. He knows the IAAF is in trouble. He knows their sport is in trouble, especially when we look at what happened leading up to the Olympics in Rio. Now, the WADA protocols have been great, but with the fiasco that was the Russian Athletics Federation, you would have never thought in this day and age where WADA has mandated and really invested in protecting the integrity of sport with incredible testing protocols, random testing, the blood passport system, so many initiatives to clean up sport. It's almost impossible to think that Russia was running a state-run doping program for their athletics team. And hence, they were caught with their hand in the cookie jar. They were punished accordingly. And now the aftermath. which is the IAAF making some very, very bold moves. The first of which is the Athletics Integrity Unit, and I like this move, but they're also looking at other initiatives. There's a report that came out earlier this year talking about the world records, and the world records, particularly before 2005. When is a world record not a world record? Well, there's a body inside of the IAAF that pretty much wants to wipe out all world records before 2005. That's when WADA started holding urine samples for testing. What happens is these athletes are using drugs that WADA can't even identify. We don't even know what they are, these new designer drugs that we've seen in sport. And so they started withholding urine samples and blood samples. So as technology and testing technology advanced, they would have the ability to test these samples again to see if there is something there that they couldn't identify before. And that's what's happened. So now there's a major discussion, and it's actually being supported and initiated inside the IAAF to potentially wipe out all world records before 2005. They're really trying to restructure their sport and gain some credibility in the public eye. They need to do it. There's no question about it. Listen, we're going to watch this with great interest. But right now, let's find out what the Athletic Integrity Unit is all about. We're joined by our good friend, David Hallman, the chair of the AIU. David, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be with you, Jeff.
Well, I've been really excited to talk to you. And I'm not going to lie, I was really excited when I heard that you were the chair of this new venture, this new program called the Athletics Integrity Unit. And I'll tell you, I really hadn't heard a lot about it until the media release came out. But this is a very bold and interesting move by the IAAF, David.
It's a move that indicates that sport really wants to make sure that it looks after its own values and its integrity by independent ways, rather than being dogged with a criticism that you can't be, the guard of the good, and then on the other hand have to sort of stand up and look after other issues in sport like corruption. So Seb Coe, when he became the president of the IAAF, decided that he would look at a new way of addressing issues of integrity, and this covers not only doping, but also matters of bribery and match fixing and corruption and so on. He wanted to address it in a way which was distant from his board, his Congress, so that he could say when matters arose that these were issues that were not under his purview but under the mandate of this new unit. And it took about 12 months, I think, for athletics to go through a governance process to establish what we now have in place.
Well, the Athletics Integrity Unit, it's the first internationally delegation that has complete autonomy in sort of managing the integrity of the sport of athletics. This is an interesting move, and it's the first time it's happened in sport. David, you have a very, very interesting perspective on this, you know, being the former director general of WADA. When this was coming together, what was sort of your take on it and your vision in the big picture?
Well, over the last 5 or 6 years, I have been advocating internationally that not only do we need WADA as the independent body relating to the doping issues that are being confronted by sport, but also another body which might look at the matters that now falls under the mandate of this new unit, like bribery and corruption and match fixing, because those were issues that we were seeing at WADA by our relationship with police, Interpol and so on, as being matters that had to be dealt with in a strong fashion. And you couldn't just deal with doping, you had to deal with these other matters as well. So for a long time I've been saying that instead of just having a world anti-doping agency, we might be looking more fruitfully at a world integrity body which does oversee and monitor all those aspects. And so when this athletics matter came along and I was approached to consider putting my name forward to chair the board, I was pretty excited, Jeff. I just saw this as a way that led on from what I had been doing for the last 13 or 14 years and provided an advance in the way that sport can stand up for its values. And so I've maintained that excitement as we've continued to pass in establishing the unit.
I really like it. We're talking with David Howman, the newly appointed chair for the Athletics Integrity Unit for the IAAF. Well, you know, I really like what you say here. You have been to the war. You've been to the battlefield, to the front line with WADA. This goes beyond WADA. So, David, my question is, will the AIU act as an arm of WADA in terms of the doping and the testing for the IAAF?
Yes, it will. It looks at all matters relating to doping. And so the unit will be essentially the athletic response to matters relating to the World Anti-Doping Code. So that's part of our mandate. And that they, in the unit, will continue to run the anti-doping program, but they will add to that the matters that fall more generally under issues of integrity and look at complaints that will be received in relation to corruption. We have a mandate to look at matters in respect of age manipulation, because there are some concerns that some athletes that perform at World Junior events may not be the age that they say they are. We will be looking at all issues which affect athletics off the field of play. In other words, the matters that do happen on the field of play will remain the domain of the International Athletics Federation. And that's the way it should be. And so the division that we've got allows us the autonomy you mentioned and gives us a budget that we are able to spend. We have to account for it, obviously, but we have no restrictions or constraints in the way that we conduct the program. And I think that's a considerable vote of confidence in a new body, and I hope we live up to the responsibility that we've been given.
Well, I think this is a very exciting time for sport in general. We're talking with David Howman, the former Director General of the World Anti-Doping Agency and the newly appointed chair to the Athletics Integrity Unit for the IAAF. So if I were to say, in terms of the doping responsibilities for the AIU, would it be sort of in parallel to the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency or the Canadian Center Ethics in Sports? You'll oversee that now, not so much for a country, but for a sporting organization, which is the IAAF. I really like this approach.
Yes, that's correct. And we will have relationships with USADA and the other national anti-doping agencies to help ensure that the tests that are conducted are ones that are not random. They're done on a basis of intelligence, and they're not duplicated by national anti-doping agencies testing the same athlete at the same time. That just doesn't make any sense. And so we will have good relationships, I think, with the bodies you mentioned and many others to make sure that we work together and not against each other. This is the international sport responsibility. There are responsibilities that have to be carried out at a national level, which USADA, of course, does in the United States. And we will work with them in the way I've just outlined.
I really like this, and it goes well beyond the doping, as you mentioned. Bribery and corruption, match fixing, which is a serious problem. We have the age manipulation, as you mentioned, the betting and gambling, the manipulation of competitive results, which, you know, we've all seen at one time or another in international sports, and, of course, the transfer of allegiance. So there's a lot of different things that you guys will be covering. I really like this, David, and I think this is something, and I'm sure you agree with this, that other sporting organizations will look seriously at to see how this goes for the IAAF.
I think we will be under scrutiny, Jeff, and I think that's a fair scrutiny to provide, because nobody has had the gumption yet to have this sort of model, which does have with it a bit of pressure and stress on us. We've got to deliver it properly. But I think it does give the opportunity of showing that these things can be done in a fair, independent fashion and not be overcome by people saying, well, you're doing this because you're trying to protect your sport. This gives sport an opportunity to say, no, we're not doing it. We've given it to independent people who we trust to deliver properly. And that's as I say, a bit of a responsibility on our shoulders, but I'm sure we can deliver.
It's a real brilliant move by the IAAF and CIDCO because of what we've seen in athletics here over the last, you know, 3 to 4 years, especially in the lead up to Rio with the Russian fiasco. So I really like this bold move by the IAAF, David.
I think CIDCO has shown a lot of guts in doing this, because there are many people running world sport who don't like to get rid of any control over any aspect of their sport. And this essentially is relinquishing control over the areas that we've talked about today without any fear. And I think that's a very strong attribute that he shoulders, and a very strong leadership ability that he will take athletics into the next decade.
David, I can see this really eliminating maybe some of the internal politics and pressures that go on inside of a sporting organization, the Athletics Integrity Unit being sort of a third-party independent body that's separated from all that with incredible transparency. This is going to be something to watch, most certainly. Hey, in your experiences with the World Anti-Doping Agency, how do you see this potentially fitting in other organizations? I think this is a real move forward, and I think other organizations have to really look at this seriously.
Well, I think it's at a time when people are thinking about this sort of thing, Jeff. I just reading this morning, the United Kingdom is looking at setting up a sport integrity officer. I know I've been in discussions over recent weeks with the government in my country here and with the government in Australia, looking at the same sort of purview that might occur at a national level. At an international level, this example by International Athletics is one which I'm sure will be looked at closely by other international federations. Tennis is doing it now. They're not far off a similar model. And I think the way that sport is going, this is going to be advantageous to those who are responsible for running sport. And I just hope it works properly. We certainly had the same view when we established WADA. And I think WADA has proved itself to be a good independent monitor. So let's hope this is a similar sort of road to success.
We're talking with David Helman, the chair of the Athletes Integrity Unit for the IAAF. One other aspect of this new body that's really interesting to me is the education aspect for the athletes and coaches and performance teams. I think this is a real valuable part of this organization as well.
Well, I think it's mandatory to have a really, really good education process so that everybody is understanding of the rules that they're operating under, but more particularly the values in which they look at their sport. And so we divide education, I think, Jeff, into sort of two aspects. One is giving information about processes and rules and so on, but the other is more teaching and teaching values and explaining to not only the athletes but also their advisors and coaches and trainers and so on what the values of sport really are, and to uphold them. You know, we're talking about respect for your opposition, respect for the officials, honesty and fair play, all those sorts of really strong values that we believe in sport, so that we have fair competition, strong competition, but fair competition. And I think going forward, those messages will be delivered in very good ways by the education programs that will be established.
Yeah, David, you know, I think the sporting world was rocked by what was discovered in Russia, you know, last year and leading up to Rio. And I like these initiatives that are now coming forward because of, you know, things that are taking us by surprise. We know for the most part there are great characters, great ethics, and some great athletes in sport that want to see it perfectly clean. If I were to ask you, David, in all your experiences at WADA and now this new adventure with the IAAF and the Athletics Integrity Unit, you know, one of the things we talk about on our show all the time when it comes to solving problems is clearly identifying the problems. And you and I have talked about this before. But I'd just like to get maybe your view on this, or just your thoughts on this, you know, about why athletes go to the dark side. Now, we know the fame and the fortune is certainly one thing, but do you think that athletes sometimes get caught not knowing what to do to maintain their athletic prowess or to improve their athletic prowess, or maybe they surround themselves with the wrong people? There's a lot of factors involved here.
Yes, look, I've in a former life, I represented a lot of athletes. So before I went to WADA, I was an advocate or a lawyer or a sort of agent for athletes. And I understood a lot more about the issues that they go through during that period of my life. And when you're an athlete and you're a young person, I would say naive and innocent in many ways in the ways of the world, you are listening to people who are advising you and trusting their advice. And regrettably, there are many around who are not working with the same values as you might as an athlete hold. And you get persuaded to do things that you mightn't otherwise have been going to do because you think these people are right. And those are the ones that we really need to address, the rogue coaches or the rogue doctors or the rogue lawyers who are really in it for the dollars and not for the right reasons. And they're the ones that I fear the most, the ones that really do upset young people. I've got a lot of time for young athletes, and I think we have to respect their abilities and the way we can forward their talent in a fair and honest fashion, not one where they're taught to go over to the dark side because that's the way they're going to make money. And that's the temptation, Jeff, that's out there, and we've got to aggressively deal with it.
I think, David, sometimes the transparency and the public eye is a powerful tool. We saw that with the International Cycling Union. They're not afraid when they get even one of their top athletes caught with their hand in the cookie jar or going to the dark side. They don't hesitate to throw that in the front page of the news. We're seeing it now in Major League Baseball, who has really taken a shift and now have one of the strongest, you know, testing protocols in professional sport. So I think that's also a deterrent, but this education side is going to be the real rub in this whole movement forward. Don't you agree?
I do agree, and I think I agree also with you about public scrutiny, and we owe a lot in sport to journalism, because I think some of these issues would have remained undercover, if you like, if it weren't for good investigative journalism and people who are prepared to talk the talk. Baseball is a very good example, and I think Rob Manfred, the current commissioner, has to be congratulated on the stance that he took when he was general counsel in ensuring that baseball cleaned its act up. And it has, and I think is all the better for it, because people knew that there was something rotten going on and couldn't put their finger quite on it, but knew it wasn't good, and now that has changed. So you can do it by having champions, you can do it by having scrutiny, and certainly you want public understanding and public support as you go forward in these new ventures.
David, listen, thank you so much for your time today. I know it's a very busy time for you as the Athletics Integrity Unit gets underway. Just in terms of timeline, though, where are we at with the IAAF Athletics Integrity Unit, and what can we look for in the coming months in terms of rollout?
Well, the board was established in April. We've had several meetings of the board, so the governance side of things is underway. The first task was to appoint a CEO, and we've just completed that. And the new CEO of the unit is Brett Clothier, who at the present has that role with the Australian Football League, which is the equivalent in Australia of the NFL, and has done a lot of work in integrity in that sport. That probably has the best approach that I've seen in my life of a sport towards these issues. So he's going to be joining the unit in the next few weeks. We have a big event coming up in London, the World Athletic Championships, in early August.
Yes.
So there'll be a lot of meetings and opportunities to talk with the athletes, to open up our education program during the week prior to that event and obviously during it. That's really the lead out that we've got in mind. There will be a lot of athletes who are part of the anti-doping program in the lead up to ensure that we have clean athletes at the event in the normal sort of doping program approach. And then it will be business as usual. We've got a lot on the plate. There's a lot of cases that we're scrutinizing at the present. We've just got to get on with it, Jeff.
I like it, David Howman, and I'm glad you're involved there. I was really happy to hear about it, and we'll be following the Athletics Integrity Unit with great, great interest. Congratulations on this new movement, and I think, in the big picture, this is a really, really important time in sport.
Well, thanks, Jeff. I'm looking forward to carrying out my responsibility. It's a bit part, really, when you look at it, but the overseeing of everything that we do has its responsibility, and I certainly will do my part. And I'm very happy to keep in touch with you as we go on.
Great. Thank you, David, so much, and I appreciate your time today.
Pleasure, Jeff.
And there you have it, a fantastic conversation with David Howman, the newly appointed chair for the Athletics Integrity Unit for the IAAF. And they need to do this. They need this kind of a bold move just to save the sport. If you think back to where baseball was in the late 80s, early 90s, early 2000s, It was a real dark time. And for a sport that operates as a business, public opinion and how it's viewed in the public eye is very, very important. Now, the IAAF doesn't have the luxury of these massive billion-dollar revenues. So to see an entire athletics association, the Russians, under a state-run drug program, under their watch, that's quite troublesome. I mean, how can we trust the sport? And the fact that there's a body inside of the IAAF that is now looking at the credibility of records before 2005, I think that speaks volumes for what they're trying to do. Pierce O'Callaghan is the chairman of the task force who's going to explore rewriting the international track and field record book. I mean, and they realize that there's a huge appetite to regain the public trust and move on with a new, cleaner sport than there's ever been in the past. Their goal is the IAAF World Championships in August. If they can get this in place and cleaned up and the foundation set before the August Championships, the general belief is London would be the redemption World Championships, opening up this new era in the world of athletics, which I think would be great, not just for athletics and the kids and the athletes inside of that sport, along with the coaches and support staff. It would be great for sport in general. Now, can it be done? Can they actually initiate enough change to alter or influence public opinion and change how the public is viewing the sport? Well, I think there's no question about it. Look what baseball has done. They battled through the dark days of the Mitchell Report where everything was uncovered. They looked at what happened in the past. They mandated what they wanted to do moving forward. And they now boast the most aggressive and complete doping program in all of sport. So it can be done. Other sports have done it as well. The International Cycling Union has worked wonders to clean up their sport and the image that they have. Football has also done some aggressive things. They still have a ways to go. And you have sports that are on the front end of it. You look at professional hockey, the NBA, and other professional sports. They're getting aggressive with their doping, but they're also very conscious of their image in the public eye. And that's very important because I think we underestimate the influence professional athletes have on young athletes, young up-and-comers, not just as fans, but as athletes that want to participate in sport. If we go back to one of the great conversations we had earlier this year with Donald Hooton Jr., who is the president of the Taylor Hooton Foundation, they've really been looking at steroid use and APED use, that's the appearance and performance-enhancing drug use in school-age children. And some of the stats that they had were absolutely alarming. For instance, the fact that 85% of high school kids have never had a conversation with a parent, teacher, or coach about PEDs, that's an alarming stat. The mean age for first-time use is 15 years of age, and 62% of school-aged users use it for looks and appearance rather than performance in sport. Young school-aged females are the fastest-growing user group, and it takes about 1 second for a student to find steroids online, so it's easy to get. But in terms of the public eye and the influence professional athletes have on young kids and young athletes, I think this statistic is one that really needs to be heard. 77% of school-age kids who were interviewed feel that PED use in pro sports puts pressure on young athletes to use to get ahead. That's what we're up against. So not only can bold moves like the Athletics Integrity Unit change the public image of a sport, they can also change the mindset of young athletes as they go up. These athletes who are now going to test positive, just like the International Cycling Union has done, just like Major League Baseball has done, even if one of their superstars tests positive, it's going to be on the front page of every major paper and on every single newscast in the world. And that is a massive deterrent, as David Howman mentioned as well in our interview. So, all in all, I think a great move by the IAAF, and we'll watch with great interest as the World Championships approach in August to see how it all comes together for the world of athletics. Have to thank David Howman for joining us today, and also want to thank you guys for listening in. And if you have any questions, if you have a topic you'd like us to look into, we may dedicate a segment of a show or an entire show to it, so get to us. The website is crushperformance.com. Info at Crush Performance is the website. That's Crush with a K. You can also follow us on Twitter at Jeff Crush, and on Facebook, Crush Performance or The Talent Grid. Join our group. Hey, we're just sharing good information. That's what we do every single week right here on Crush Performance. I'm Jeff Crushell, and we'll talk to you next time. We'll
Hi, this is David Penzer, former TNA and WCW ring announcer, inviting you to join me on my podcast, Sitting Ringside. We're going to talk to the stars of professional wrestling today and yesteryear. Also, talk to those behind the scenes that have some awesome stories to tell. You're not going to want to miss it. Sitting Ringside with me, David Penzer, could be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.